And we are live. Ready when you are.
Okay. Hi, everybody. Hope you had a good week this week. This is Lost Arts Radio Live. This is a new show that we put together to go over events in the news in the previous week, right before the broadcast. And kind of handy if you want to, you know, if you don't have a lot of time to watch the news all the time, even on real news channels. And we'll look at a couple of important events during the week and kind of what's happening. But it's also interactive. And I think we've got chat running on a few of the platforms. So once people get aware that this show is happening and you guys get brave enough to be a little more interactive, then I'd really like to hear from you and what you think is important during the week and about what's going on. But I'll mention a few things, and we got delayed today, I'm sorry about that, with computer issues, and it's kind of interesting because the topic, one of the main topics that I was going to mention from during the week was about censorship and the fact that the powers that control things are cracking down on free expression on the internet. So kind of appropriate that we're, you know, a little bit slow in getting up and running, but at least we managed to do that. And in the future shows after this, we're going to be probably going into more dense review of the news, and I'm going to have a lot more commentary on specific issues going on. But this week, I think one of the things to keep in mind first in relation to censorship, and I want to make a comment too before I get into it, is that we're broadcasting simultaneously, thanks to Doug Diamond's help, on several programs, some of which you may have heard of, like YouTube, and they're getting really well known for certain activities now, primarily censorship. And there's incredible collusion and real conspiracy between all these major corporations that are running things on the planet right now. In fact, the whole theme of conspiracy is so far beyond what most of the conspiracy theory people even know about that it's much deeper than most people really grasp, but probably way beyond what I see as well. But I've investigated some of it for years and have something about that to share with you. So, in fact, we have a lot of doctors and other guests on our Sunday night show at 6 o'clock Pacific and 9 o'clock Eastern. That's an educational guest show, and it does touch on the news a lot, but it's mostly educational to fill in gaps about subjects that you may want to know more about. And since it is essentially a health show, we've had a lot of doctors on. And just to illustrate the degree of conspiracy that's really happening among global corporations, one of our guests, Dr. Rima Labo, who's been a friend of ours for a long time, when the Ebola outbreak was happening, with this engineered Ebola that the CDC owns, you know, part of the patent on, and the drug companies are in on, and they let it loose probably to see what would happen in West Africa, and it was killing people. And Dr. Labo is a really good researcher and is keeping up on a lot of things that others of us may not notice. And she found a patent. Well, was it a patent? No, I guess it was a document that was related to the patent, not only on the Ebola strain that they had developed in a laboratory to be more lethal, and it's always the excuse, well, we want to know how it would act if it ever happened, so we'd be ready to protect you from it, right? So we have to create it in the lab, and then, of course, it probably is going to get let loose, but it's all to protect you. So she found documents about this new strain of patented Ebola. And isn't that a weird concept, how they patent a disease that they're supposed to be trying to get rid of, and instead of that, to get rid of it better, they create it so after that they could fight it, right? Of course, it didn't exist before they created it, but you're not supposed to notice anything wrong with that reasoning. So they created this special Ebola in a lab in maybe Sierra Leone, but one of those countries in West Africa, and they let it loose to see what would happen. And it, I don't know their motive, but it looks to me like it's to see what would happen, judging from their history and how they generally operate. So Dr. Lebo, in researching the whole topic, found that there was one of the many, many myriad of defense organizations in the U.S. Well, they're called defense. They used to be called the Department of War, and then they decided that was not a really great image, so they changed it to the Department of Defense. So it was obviously always justified, whatever they wanted to do, whoever they wanted to invade and that sort of thing. So one of the various departments under that main department had experimented to make sure that if they needed to, they could stop the new manufactured engineered Ebola. And what did they use? A drug? No. New vaccine? No. They because they wanted to know how you could really stop it. Okay, not a hoax. And they used silver, nano silver, nano meaning really small particles of silver suspended in water, and the particular concentration they used was 10 parts in a million parts of water, not much silver, and it completely wiped it out, stopped it. I mean, you can't say it killed it, because viruses like Ebola, you could say, are not really alive. They're lacking some of the elements of living forms, but it stopped it, inactivated it, ended the problem in the petri dish that they were experimenting in and demonstrating. And so she said, oh, well, I know about nanosilver. Lots of people know about nanosilver. I happen to have some of it right here that's 10 parts per million, and let's just give it to the people in West Africa, right? That would be a normal response, to try to help them in a way that it's not expensive. It has, like any real medicine, it has no side effects that are bad. And so she said, well, we'll just send it over there. So once she decided to do that, somehow WHO heard about it. That's the World Health Organization, created to protect you from harm and take care of you and work selflessly to defend you against horrible diseases. Unfortunately, it's actually creating diseases and making money off of vaccines and drugs, which hurt and kill a lot more people. But that's just, you know, kind of a side issue. It's there to protect you and save you and all that kind of stuff. So they heard about her sending nanosilver to West Africa, and they called the air carrier, which happened to be Air France, if I remember right. And they said, look, don't deliver this package no matter what you do. Put it in a warehouse. Never let it out. Other than that, you know, just go about your normal work. And so Dr. Lebo wondered why the people over there never received it. And she found out that WHO had blocked it. And, you know, WHO, which is in charge of declaring emergencies and saving the world by fighting, you know, force vaccinating everybody and stuff like that. They previously had told the governments of West Africa, and there's a bunch of little countries in there, no matter what you have to do, just find a cure. Just like they're finding a cure for cancer, right? With all the billions of dollars they get given to the drug companies. Find a cure for this new Ebola that we invented, and do it right away. Spare no expense. Do whatever you have to do. Except, if you hear anything about this nanosilver, if you ever experiment with that, you're going to have serious trouble. All of your rulers, elected officials in the country, and their families, I expect. And, you know, other than that, just find a cure however you can, but don't touch nanosilver and don't experiment with it. So in the end, they had to smuggle some over there, which ended up saving people's lives, because all you do is drink some of it. It's not complicated. And in the meantime, when Dr. Lebo was trying to distribute it, PayPal, you might think they have no connection to WHO and Air France and all those others, but that's not true. PayPal stopped taking payments from people that wanted to buy Nano Silver, and they shut her down that way. And then Chase Bank, which, if you've seen the commercials, is also there just to make you happy and help you make money and have a happy life and cares about your children and all that. They stole all her money out of her company account for her own benefit, you know, to keep her safe. All these seemingly disconnected corporations suddenly were working together in perfect harmony to shut down an attempt to save people from a disease which happened to be engineered and probably let loose on purpose, I suspect, because they had very low security measures in place to protect working with this highly dangerous virus. So the reality is that in this partnership of government and global corporations, and you know, I should mention that when I say the partnership between those two, the governments are almost entirely incorporated as well. So really, they're just companies, as Clint Richardson pointed out in a brilliant video that you can see on lostartsradio.com or on YouTube. I'll remember what it was. It's on the CAFR accounts, but I think it's called the Corporation Nation. It was really excellent, and Clint was a guest on our show after that. But this collusion, this corporation, is not just for money. The money's at the lower levels. At the higher levels, it's about destruction and pain and death for their own sake, and that's their biggest camouflage, as far as I can tell. That normal people would never imagine that anybody would want to do that kind of stuff. But that's the environment that we're living in, and that's the theme in the news now and all the time up to now, pretty much, at least for the last few thousand years. So one of the big things that, you know, hopefully people won't forget is that Tommy Robinson is a great, courageous reporter in the UK, is still in prison. And what crime is he in prison for? Well, he dared to report that there was a trial going on for a big rape gang. And we're on YouTube. I don't want to get shut down, but so I want to be careful about keywords. But if you understand me, there was there was a whole religious group that was behind this, what they call grooming gangs, but they're just getting young girls ready to be sex slaves and stuff like that, which is totally promoted in the scriptures of their religion, believe it or not. I've read them and I know. It's really pretty amazing. So he got put in prison because at all costs, you're not allowed to know about that kind of stuff going on. And in my opinion, what you take from that, what we take from that, is not another group to be against, because that just perpetuates conflict and hatred and misunderstanding and all that stuff. But the thing to understand from it is that religion is powerful, not just the established religions that you know about, that you think are religions, but there are many other religions. There's a religion of vaccines, for example, that says, you know, every religion has something you're supposed to say to show you're a member, right? You believe such and such and such and such, therefore you're, whatever you do, you're fine. And the religion of vaccines has that too. And I don't know if you guys know it, but to be a good member of that religion, you're supposed to say vaccines are safe and effective. Now, we've gone into that on other programs. It's completely not true at all. In fact, the opposite is true. Sherry Tenpenny, who I think will be a guest on our Sunday show shortly, made a great video, which is on lostartsradio.com, and the video's there, at an event hosted by Dane Wigington and geoengineeringwatch.org. And she was explaining that vaccines are great, except they're not safe. They hurt and kill people. And they're not really effective because they do make an antibody response in your body, but there's no relationship between that and real-life immunity. So they've never prevented disease which is what I've been saying back to Edward Jenner, who really started them in the current era in about 1799 in the UK. They've been killing people since then, and it wasn't the mercury. And I'm not disagreeing with the people who say mercury is terrible. Injecting mercury into people is an almost unimaginable crime that's being done by the medical profession and the drug industry. But before there was mercury in vaccines, they were hurting and killing people from the beginning and spreading disease, not stopping it. But it's so outrageous that you're not supposed to be able to grasp it. You're supposed to be saying, well, everybody knows the best disease prevention is vaccines. That's the end of it. And the reason it's a religion is because it's not open for discussion. They'll say the science is settled, which is an oxymoron. Science can't be settled. It's always questioning its own findings to see if they're wrong. And they usually are to some degree. So you're not supposed to question any of these religions. And one of them is that countries are bad, and that we should have a one world, harmonious, one family of humanity, which I actually agree with. But since we don't have that right now, and people are not all happy with each other, and many cultures and religions and nationalities or people within certain countries want to kill the other people, maybe because they have the wrong religion or because they have the wrong skin color or whatever. But as long as that's the case, blending them all together with no borders is really not brilliant. In fact, it's essentially suicidal. And there is a group at the highest levels of control of the world right now that wants that to be the way that the world is run. So they are the ones behind immigration of basically terrorists who come in, and a significant portion of them start raping and killing everybody. And the theory of the global rulers is that if you get upset about that enough, and especially scared of it and terrified, then you're going to beg for more tight control internationally by government. And they'll say, oh, well, if you insist, I guess we'll go ahead and give you world government. You know, we didn't want to, but since you need it and it's for your own good, here it is. And that will be the end of all freedoms of anything, basically. It'll merge with Agenda 21 protocols, and it'll be all the procedures in place for controlling your life. And that's not the ultimate agenda of the global rulers, but it's close. You know, after that, the further steps of it are extermination. But that's even harder for people to grasp why anybody would want that. So we may go into that later. But in the steps up to that, you can understand what's happening in the world, or a lot of it right now. And one of the big things is censorship that we're talking about. And the idea is that freedom of speech is basically terrorism. And that if you have anything to say that might offend somebody, and they're willing to be offended if nobody else is, then you need to be shut down, because you'd really disturb people, and it's not right that you should be causing distress to anybody else. So it's better for you to say only things that are approved by the government and the global corporations. Anything else is classified as hate speech. And it's something that they can get people to support, because they think, see, that most people are pretty normal and decent, and they think, well, yeah, we don't want hate speech. They don't realize that as soon as you can outlaw certain kinds of speech as being hate speech, then the people in charge of deciding what that is can outlaw anything. And the very first amendment, the first element in the Bill of Rights that the American founders started, not to give people rights, but to recognize the automatic rights that everybody has that come from God, the very first one, or you can say nature if you don't want to say God, it doesn't matter. It just, the point is that you have these rights, and government, not because government or the UN or anybody gave them to you, but because you were born with them. And the first one is free speech. So there's a movement now among the global ruling supposedly elite to get rid of free speech, because they know that there's a rising consciousness worldwide, which you're an important part of, and they need to stop it. So how are they going to stop it? They can't. There's people who are noticing nonsense, and they, you know, they can't be just fooled as easily as before. So they figure, we'll just cut off any divergent speech that's outside of what's acceptable. So one of the big, well, there's a couple of big movements now that you can watch. They've been in the news all week and before that. And one of them is social media just shutting down sites. For example, Facebook, I think was it Facebook or YouTube? Maybe it was YouTube. Totally shut down Mike Adams and the Health Ranger. And he's not there anymore. And same thing is happening to Alex Jones and a lot of other smaller, honest news outlets that can't afford a bunch of lawyers to fight it or anything like that. But even the ones with money for lawyers like Natural News are getting shut down. So that's going on. And, you know, the nice thing about the principle of a free market is that when something gets more in demand, you know, like a way to have free speech and a platform to talk on, when it gets more in demand, then people start thinking and trying to be inventive and come up with something that will fill the gap. So Mike Adams has come up with a new platform that will be up in July. And we're going to be going on to it too. It's called real.video. And you can go to that site now and apply for an account there if you'd like to upload your YouTube videos or any other videos. And they won't allow real terrorism or calls for, you know, killing people and junk like that. But they'll let you have free speech. And if you want to explain a point of view that the conventional platforms would ban or censor, then you could go there. And there are going to be others like that too. But I have a feeling that Mike's is going to be really good. So in case we disappear off of the usual ones, don't forget to look for Lost Arts Radio on real.video. But for now, we're on YouTube and Facebook and Periscope and other ones like that. Anyway, the Tommy Robinson thing is really important. He's being held in prison after being almost instantly tried, sentenced, convicted, and sentenced, and hauled off to prison, and he didn't do anything that hurt anybody. And this is in the UK. Much of the UK law is used as a basis for US law. And one of the principles of it is if there is, it's not followed, but it was a basic principle of law in the beginning of that system. And the principle was, if there's no victim, then there's no crime. It can't be a crime if nobody got hurt. And, you know, the vast majority of things that people get convicted and sent to prison for now have no victims. And the drug abuse thing is one. I don't recommend using marijuana at all. I don't think it's a good idea. However, I don't think it should be sending you to prison. And I think that's the most common thing, or one of the most common things that people are in prison for. And prison has become a business. It's another corporation. So there's these big businesses that own the prisons and make money from the government based on how many people they can have locked up. Completely corrupt system. And when Tommy Robinson was arrested and thrown in prison right away, the UK government even ordered all the media to not report on it. Completely illegal order. You know, governments like the UK and the US and France and other ones, they justify things based on what they call national security. But what they miss is that national security doesn't override people's basic rights, and especially when the national security concern is fake to begin with, then there's really no question. The social media are also generally going along with that. Mike Adams, who's still sending out his private newsletter, and you can get on that mailing list at naturalnews.com. He announced yesterday or today that Facebook was, I think it was yesterday actually, Facebook was banning notice of this, you know how they have these summits, right, where there's a special topic that everybody's interested in, like in health, for example, and they have all these experts that give presentations about it, and it's all free, but they put so many of them up there on every day that nobody's going to have time to watch all of them, and then they sell you a recording with all of them. It's a legitimate way to make money, and if you can take the time to watch at least some of them, it's all free, and you learn a lot of important stuff. So there's a summit that's just being advertised now on Alzheimer's disease and dementia, which is a huge epidemic worldwide, partly because of the poisoned food and water and other environmental impacts like chemtrails and EMF fields and that sort of thing, but also because of the statin drugs, things that cut down the fat in the diet so that your brain, which is primarily made out of saturated fat and cholesterol, stops functioning, which I don't think is a coincidence at all. It's a very good business model going along with how the drug medicine industry was set up by the Rockefeller and Carnegie Institutes, and really into a, I guess, set up as a hope for monopoly, which they pretty much have now, starting in 1910 with the Flexner Report that you can read about and some really ingenious business strategies to get rid of competition. Anyway, so this censorship of any real health information is getting tougher and tougher, and you're aware already of the 80 or 85 doctors that have been killed so far in the last 2 or 3 years in the U.S. and some other places, just for mentioning a little bit of real health information, because they figure if you find out what you can really do to take care of your own health so that you don't have to worry about aging or degenerative disease or susceptibility to infections or, you know, how to take care of your own immune system, stuff like that, that's going to be really irritating to the power structure, because they're on the lower levels where they care about money, they're making over $3 trillion a year by keeping us all sick and addicted to multiple medical drugs. And the multiple medical drugs is key, because when you take one of those drugs, if you are really careful and you read the package insert, you can find out about what they really do to you. You know, it's called side effects, right? But that's just a word. Don't pay any attention to that. It's the real effects. It's just the ones they don't want to focus on. Stuff like, you know, stopping your heart, swelling your brain, giving you autoimmune diseases, killing you, little stuff like that, you know. But that's if you're only taking one drug. If you're taking more than one, they interact. And the drug manufacturers have no idea what that will do to you. They have no idea. They've watched it, but there are so many possible chemical reactions involved and biological reactions that there's no way they have any idea what's going to happen if you're taking more than one drug. And every time you add another one to it, it's what Dr. Cousins calls toxic synergy. And it's amazing that anybody's living through it. And in reality, they're living through it for a while. And they're living in spite of the drugs, which unfortunately are called medicine. You've heard the word. It doesn't mean anything now, anyway. They're still just toxic chemicals that you're supposed to eat, which is really not brilliant. And they're tested so that they can advertise that if you do eat them, you can swallow these little things called pills with a glass of water, then some symptom that you're worried about gets covered up and is less for a while. And then it turns out to be worse later on, but then you get another drug for that. And eventually it gets you in worse and worse condition. And then they send you to have surgery and they start removing organs. And then at the end, they just drug you out of your mind so you won't be aware of what's happening. And that's how people are euthanized like pets, you know, but in a more gradual fashion. It's pretty odd. And so anything that exposes real health information is forbidden, and you're not supposed to talk about that. And especially if you're a doctor, you can get killed on it. If you're lucky, you just get demonized and financially attacked and everything, like Dr. Wakefield, who didn't do anything bad at all that I can tell, and I've studied his case. So this crackdown of censorship is increasing, and you're not supposed to notice that it's fully coordinated against the across the board, you know, even in the U.S. government that has a big impact on the rest of the world. Most of the Republicans and the Democrats are all on the same side, and they're in collusion to support the censorship and the loss of freedom of speech and loss of all the other freedoms. And it's really interesting. You know, we had a lot of conversation and questions and things this week about the attacks on Donald Trump. And everything's not about Donald Trump. He's just one person who's in the presidency. But the reason that it was so important, what's going on with him, is that once in a while in the U.S., rarely in the last 100 years or so, you get a president who, you know, what he's right or wrong about it is one issue. But what I'm looking at is, what's his motive? Most of them get in there for the motive of money and power and prestige and trying to rise or raise their own position within the power structure. And if they're really, you know, in touch with the top levels, to get in on the satanic ceremonies and the stuff that the public still has no idea is going on. But it is, unfortunately. So once in a while you get a president getting elected who's not in that group, and they try really hard to prevent that and to hack the voting machines. And now they're really getting into controlling what can be posted on social media, and anything that's in favor of a candidate that they don't endorse, they just censor it. You can't put it out there. Any candidate that's in favor of national sovereignty, stopping illegal immigration, stopping GMOs, getting rid of EMFs, promoting organic food, you know, anything that's good for you, basically, if the candidate is honestly and clearly saying that, even part of it, then they tend to get blocked, and that's what's happening. So the reason that, knowing that, when you see the coordinated attack against Donald Trump that is just amazing, that started when he started running for president, that should make you think, you know, drop the Republican-Democrat fighting in your mind for a minute. You can always go back to that, okay? There's much more going on there. The power structure analyzes the people that run for office, especially the higher offices. So they know that Donald Trump didn't want to do this initially, and he got in there because he had meetings. The last ones were in Ireland, I think, and he was resisting, and his wife convinced him, you have to do this. And he knew that he would be smeared, he would be attacked by the whole power structure, that the media on all sides, the fake conservative media and the fake liberal media, they'd all be after him. He'd run a strong risk of assassination. He would need to be under protective guard all the time from loyal elements of the military. And he decided to do it anyway. And he'd lose a lot of money. And he spent his life accumulating this massive fortune in business and did quite well at it. Did some also unusual things that weren't just to make the money. It's not widely known because of the media deception, but there were golf clubs in Florida, for example, country clubs that would not allow you in if your skin was too dark or if you were Jewish or all these type of, you know, restrictions. And Trump went in and bought them and removed the restrictions. That's his character. And a lot of the famous rap people and, you know, movie stars and stuff, they know about that. But they're afraid to talk about it, most of them. Kanye West was one of the few brave enough to start talking some even partial support of Donald Trump. But the thing to support about him is the attitude that he's there to help the country, even if he doesn't understand a lot of stuff or has wrong ideas about some of it, or, you know, is doing things that turn out to be harmful and need to be corrected. The motive is so important. You know, if you don't have that, as most of his predecessors, the Bushes and the Clintons and Obama, they were in there for destruction. There's some great videos on Obama if you don't know about that. And the Clintons' War on Women is a great book by Roger Stone. I think he's also written about the Bushes and the crime dynasty that they're involved in. And you know that George Bush Sr., his father, was involved in helping the Nazi movement. And, you know, the public is not told any of this stuff. Now, they're mostly using the Democratic Party to bring in totalitarian control and loss of freedom of speech, loss of other freedoms, and trying to hope that people don't understand the huge importance of the Second Amendment being protected at all costs. You need to understand historically what's happened when that's lost, and that's how they're using the school shootings now to say that the people that follow the laws that don't commit crimes, they shouldn't be able to defend themselves, and that's going to make you safe. Complete nonsense, but they're trying to hypnotize everybody to not be able to think clearly anymore. Mexico, for example, has total gun control, and they have some of the worst murder and violent crime anywhere. Same with a city like Chicago or others where they've got complete gun control, and so the criminals are totally free to do whatever they want. That's what's wrong with the school gun-free zones and everything. They just invite murder. And when you combine that with the drugs that you're not supposed to know are causing all those murders, then it's a recipe for showing that people should be more controlled, and that's what they're trying to work on. So with Trump, there's a lot he doesn't understand, and a lot he needs to correct. But this attitude is similar to people of any party that have gotten in honestly wanting to help the country. And John Kennedy comes to mind. I was in junior high school when he was assassinated, and I remember all about that. It was a terrible loss of a leader that actually had good motives. There were some of his stuff that I didn't agree with that he was doing, but that was so secondary to the fact that he clearly wanted to help the country, as far as I could see, and wanted to stop the Vietnam War and wanted to shut down the Federal Reserve, which is a huge, important issue. Absolute requirement for long-term prosperity is to get rid of the Federal Reserve, and Kennedy was doing that. Trump has shown some indication that he's interested in that, and also that he wants to question the whole vaccine campaign. He already started a division in Health and Human Services where people could file complaints where their rights of conscience were taken away, and people have speculated that that could be used when people are being forced with vaccination. We've had guests on like Michelle Rauten and other people trying to stop mandatory vaccination because it doesn't prevent disease. It kills people on its own and it spreads disease. Anyway, the power structure has analyzed Trump in total detail. They know his personality. They know what things he would do if he gets the information. So the whole program is, number one, get rid of him, kill him if necessary, which they've been encouraging from the beginning. Everything he does, say that it's bad, not because he's perfect, but because he's got the attitude that if he learns his mistakes, he'll correct them. He's not in there to hurt anybody. And he's already demonstrated that in great detail. He's not, we've had people asking during the week if he's working for the Rothschilds or the central banks or, you know, any of those so-called power elites. And no, obviously not. I mean, there's some good people who have made impressive podcasts about the fact that he is, but I don't think so. Because if that was the case, he'd never have stopped the atrocity of TPP, which he did right when he got in office. He's trying to secure the borders, which is diametrically opposed to what the power elite are doing. He's exposing radical religious terrorism, which is not really radical. It's just following certain religions verbatim that call for terrorism and call for world peace by killing everybody who has the wrong religion. Trump has been one of the only people in politics brave enough to call that what it is. I mean, to a great degree anyway. And that's why he's hated by the power structure. So there are so many things, though, that he hasn't done right yet. And all efforts are being expended to try to keep the information away from him to doing the right thing with these things. For example, one of his most horrible bad actions was firing missiles into Syria and thinking that Assad was this horrible monster when, like Gaddafi, is one of the only leaders in those countries that's not really following the religion to the extent that you kill everybody of the wrong religion. Choosing my words carefully here because I don't want us to get shut down right away. Assad was not a bad guy, and Putin was not a bad guy in the current situation. He's got a past like everybody does, but in Russia, they're promoting organic food. They're fighting the Wi-Fi development, resisting 5G, trying to get wireless out of schools, which every community needs to get the wireless radiation totally out of schools at least. And, of course, they should be out of churches. I mean, that's supposed to be this big spiritual center, right? Having that and radiating the people who come for your services is not very consistent. It's happening right across the street from where I live right now. But they're not interested in talking about it. So, anyway, we criticize Trump launching missiles at Syria. First of all, it's not our country. They weren't attacking the U.S., but second of all, the chemical attack, the last one in Syria, and previous ones have been launched as false flags by the terrorists trying to implicate Assad, who was not at fault. The last one didn't even happen. It was just total fake. And the way we know that is the kids and their parents, who were supposedly victims of chemical poisoning, they went on TV and said, you know what? They offered us candy and a little bit of money and stuff if we would play this little game, and they threw water on us and made us lie on the floor and flop around like a chemical person victim is supposed to do. And it was a complete fake. And this has been on, you know, the internet and publicly now. And so that was a real bad mistake of Trump, along with acting not immediately going to meet with Putin right after he was elected. He should also have banned GMOs in the country like Putin is doing. Putin has already done that, at least a 10-year moratorium in Russia, which is great. And Putin has said he wants to become the world leader in exporting organic food. He's supporting families. You know, they're not communist anymore. They're really doing great things, which is why the power structure wants war with Russia and all this stuff. So we started late. I've got 6 more pages of notes that I'm not going to get to. And just wanted to let you know that overall, it's a really incredible thing to have a person in office who doesn't want to destroy the country. It's the first time in several administrations that that's happened. So the more information that can get to President Trump while he's still there, try to correct the holes in his understanding. Let him know that all vaccine mandates need to be overturned immediately. That chemical agriculture needs to be phased out. I guess this is probably too radical for most people to grasp, but chemical agriculture was never needed. This guy, a German chemist named Justus von Liebig, came up with it. And like Pasteur, near the end of his life, he realized that what he discovered was a big mistake, that there were some big drawbacks to it that he honestly overlooked. Trump needs to be really strong against internet censorship. This development in the EU this week, the committee has passed a bill, which would become law, that would automate censorship, which would spread all over the world. That's really serious, you guys, and it wouldn't even let you cite a link to somebody else's site without a license specific to that event, which you wouldn't have time or money to get. So it would shut down free speech very effectively. It's part of what Trump got out of in TPP, and the EU, which is never elected and just trying to dominate all the countries in Europe, has put into this new law that they're voting on in July. So everybody needs to let the members of parliament know that this is completely unacceptable. Also, Trump needs to know about the suppressed energy technologies and phase into those. That means going against the real higher levels of the deep state, but that needs to be done. There's much more, but you know, because Trump has the right motives, it would be good to get all this information to him and demonstrate it in our own communities. So this all comes back to consciousness. That's where it all comes from. You have to be conscious or else you can't even really grasp these things. They turn into intellectual fights, and you can be pushing for the best causes in the world, stopping geoengineering or GMOs or whatever your EMFs, whatever you're working on. If you have a consciousness that's still in fighting, then you're going to incite that in the other people that you're trying to help. And we're talking about a deeper consciousness that needs to stop that perpetual feuding and get into the real basis for world peace, which is a consciousness that you spread by resonance while you're doing the outer work that you have to do at your job and your family and your causes that you're working for, but you're doing something different in the back of your mind. You're not hating anybody, and you're working on something much more powerful. If you get rid of fear and hate completely, which you can do, and you fix your health by natural means, and you learn the suppressed tools that you need in order to do that, then you can start transmitting energy like a cell tower, but on the positive side. That's not imaginary, and it's not a belief system. It's real. It's just been forgotten. And the greatest fear that I found in the people in charge is that you might find out about it. So that's why we started a separate show half an hour from now, because we're supposed to stop about now with the new show. And you can find out about it. You can get entry to it at lostartsradio.com/club. And it'd be nice to see you there. Otherwise, if you don't want to be involved in that and the deeper personal work that we're going to get into that makes you access this stuff, you can still watch all the YouTube videos as long as we're up there. Those are all free. I'm going to try to make more and more of them as time permits. And the free Sunday night show, I want to make sure you know you're invited to that. 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, blogtalkradio.com/lostartsradio. But right now, if you want to be in on the club meeting where we go into personal tools that you can use to start being a much stronger actor in this whole thing in a harmonious way, not fighting with anybody, then that's at lostartsradio.com/club. Otherwise, I hope you have a great week, and I'll look forward to seeing you again. We'll review some of the events from the coming week at the news show, and I'll see you then.
There was one question in the chat about are we going to have Dr. Group back on the live stream again?
Oh, yeah, I would love to do that. He's a good friend of ours, and he's just so incredibly busy all the time, you know, and it took me 3 years to get him on the first time.
Yeah.
He kept saying, yeah, I'm going to do that right away, and right away. It turned out to be 3 years, but I'll invite him again if you'd like me to. Sure. Good idea.
Okay. And do we want to mention Jeff coming up? Or?
Yeah, actually, that's a good idea.
That'll be next Friday, right?
Yeah, that's a big thing. In fact, Jeff's another one that I've been trying to get on for at least 2 years, maybe three.
Yeah.
Jeff Berwick is a very famous guy who's been pushing a peaceful, harmonious version of anarchy. And you know, anarchy, when they have no government, ana means not, and archy means control or government. And he's been pushing the idea that we just need to all cooperate in life and not need to be ordered around and told what to do by our leaders. And so he started a broadcast, which is also really great, called Anarchast. I think that might be a podcast where you have to look up, go to YouTube and look up Jeff Berwick, Berwick. And he's got this list of incredible guests that he's had on over many years. And he's got a once-a-year event in Mexico, Acapulco, which he calls Anarchapulco, and a lot of great speakers and things. I wanted to talk to him because my thought was, yeah, it's a great idea, but if you remove government and leave people in the consciousness that they're in now, they're going to just start killing, the organized gangs are going to start killing everybody because they won't be restrained by government. And that's why I think the early American founders grudgingly agreed to having a federal government because they wanted the country protected against attack and some stuff like that, or against internal unconstitutional activity. So ultimately, I think zero government of any kind is a great goal. But in order to get there safely, and apparently Gracie agrees.
Yes.
That. In order to get there safely, you have to have the consciousness to support that. Otherwise, if you've got countries of people on the outside where they have some whatever belief where they have to kill you, it's probably a good idea to have some kind of protection. And that's the idea of a government that is constrained by a constitution written to uphold the basic rights that people got in the beginning. So anyway, that's all just an introduction to Jeff Berwick. I think there's going to be a live stream with him Friday the 29th, and then that'll be rebroadcast on the radio show on the Sunday following that. So yeah, that's going to be exciting.
Yeah, that's all we had for today. No other questions in the chat, really. So I guess we can sign off for now. And
okay, guys.
People join us in the Planetary Healing Club. It's coming up just 25 minutes.
Yeah. Sounds good. See you then.
Okay. Thanks, everybody.